T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Good night of basketball last night for this city. We'll get into that momentarily. Going to talk to Michael Cohen in about 15 minutes about Nathaniel Hackett. Michael was at Syracuse when Nathaniel Hackett was a coach at Syracuse, so he's very familiar on this guy. So we'll talk to our Green and Gold Insider coming up, the Packers' new offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. Did want to just mention this with you. Article in the New York Post came out late yesterday describing the details that Bob Costas and NBC are officially done.
Mm-hmm.
It's all settled quietly and happily for all concerned. Costas is 66. We'll still be on the MLB Network. He's been the main guy on NBC for a long time. But starting in 2012, they kind of phased him out a little bit. He was still the emeritus. He still came back. He still did some stuff. But over the years, Mike Tirico's jumped on board, kind of took his spot at the Olympics this last Olympiad. Bob Costas is not a fan of the NFL.
No, he's
not a fan of the domestic abuse that seems to just like be passed over. He's not a fan of the backlash for certain subjects. He's not a fan of, you know, people getting concussions and the NFL not doing enough in his mind about it. So Bob Costas wasn't doing those games anymore, and there's really no room for him. NBC doesn't have baseball. He lost his Olympic spot, and so they just kind of quietly. He had 3 years on his deal yet, but they've settled that, and you'll still see him at the MLB Network.
Yeah. Sounds like he wanted to have some of those projects off his back, you know, the halftime, the Winter Olympics and all that. And, you know, Costas, he is at his best when he's doing an interview, when he's doing a sit-down interview, like when he had the show later with Costas and he'd interview Mellencamp and he'd interview all the celebrities and athletes and all that, or if he does an HBO interview. I've seen his interview with Bobby Knight. It's really, really good. But that's when he, I think, Costas is at his excellence, when he's doing these one-on-one interviews with people.
He's done Super Bowls. He's done World Series. He's done the Olympics. He's done the NBA Finals, calling or being the host of these events. The Triple Crown as well. But he's out at NBC. He will call about 20 games for the MLB Network. He's also exploring doing another interview-style show, which will be a hybrid of his HBO show, and then later with Bob Costas, as you mentioned.
A friend of mine who used to work at AP, he's retired now. He's about Costas' age. Him and Costas were vying, and nobody knew who Costas was at the time. They were vying for the same job with the St. Louis Spirits, I believe they're called, the old ABA.
Sure.
And Costas got it, and he finished second, and he later found out, oh, Costas was the guy who beat me out.
And then thus began a long, storied career,
yeah,
for Bob Costas. So just an interesting note to pass along that you haven't seen him on NBC much as of late and probably never will again.
Well, when's the last time we saw Costas, really, doing the Brewer game?
MLB
game
Network.
Three against Colorado.
When they butchered, like, everything.
Yeah, I was at the game, but, I mean, I saw Twitter and you guys were just going at it and just, like, come on, Costas. Get the names right of all people.
I believe he said Aguilera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Costas does in his day-to-day activities, but I would assume he has enough time to learn how to pronounce Jesus Aguilar's name.
And baseball is his deal. I mean, he loves baseball. That's his favorite sport. But, yeah, I heard he hacked up the game three.
Yeah, it was not.
With Jim Cott.
It was not great.
Yeah.
What day was that? I'm going to try to find some of those highlights here.
That was the day the Packers played Detroit.
I'm going to produce the show
at
while
Detroit.
On the air. Always a smart thing to do.
I can tell you offhand.
So the payoff, I'm just saying the payoff better be worth it.
October 7th, I want to say.
Okay.
Saying October 7th was the day.
Let me just cross this I and dot this T.
Aguilera unloads.
There it is. See how quickly things pop up to us?
All that for that.
Yeah.
Aguilera unloads.
He must have been talking about Rick Aguilera, the former Twins player.
Good night, though, for Hoops in the City. The Bucks we've talked about quite a bit this morning. If you missed any of that, you can check out our podcast, 1057fmthefan.com. Click on Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield, 124 to 86 last night. And then Marquette, maybe you watched the whole game, maybe you flipped over after. They did it all without Marcus Howard, who had some back spasms, some back issues. Only played about 3 minutes, didn't have any points. And it was the Sam Hauser show last night for the Golden Eagles, but you referred to them as the Warriors.
The Warriors, yes.
So a good win last night, Chuck, for the Warriors.
Yeah, and they did a nice job, one of the Hauser boys, defending on the big man for Georgetown, who's averaging about 25 points a game. They got in his grill all night long, and Georgetown had an 8-point lead, and Howard's on the bench, and I'm thinking, man, they're going to lose this game. But Hauser led him to the victory, and they made a defensive stop on the other side when Georgetown was trying to go for the game-winning basket, and then Hauser came back and hit two free throws. And God, that's a big win to go to Georgetown. Georgetown's not great. They're a middle-of-the-pack Big East team. But to go to Georgetown on the road in college basketball and win that game without the best player, the leading scorer in the conference – man, that's huge. That was huge for that team to do that last night and seal off that win.
Marquette's ranked 15th in the AP Top 25. They're 13th in the coaches poll, the new poll that came out Monday. This is the highest they've been in the Wojo era. They're playing like a top 10 team for certain. And as a guy who grew up watching a lot more Badgers than Marquette, again, the first that I really knew about Marquette was when I got a schedule magnet with Aaron Hutchins on it.
Okay, that's 1994 or so.
Yeah.
They went to the NIT.
And I thought, Marquette, isn't that in Michigan? I had no idea what Marquette was.
Sure.
As a 10-year-old boy, I grew up in Fond du Lac. Milwaukee was a world away.
But then you knew who Marquette was when Travis Diener committed.
Yeah, I definitely did. Yeah. And then people would show up at Fondy basketball games not wearing any Fondy stuff. It was all Marquette.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
Okay.
I mean, we're all proud of Travis Diener and Fond du Lac, but if you come to a Fondy game, Travis isn't on the team at this point.
But I remember Crean showing up for many of those games.
Yeah,
even after he had committed to Marquette, Crean was still showing up at those the old gyms there.
Oh, after Travis did go to Marquette too, sometimes he'd come back to the Fondy gym and he'd bring like Steve Novak with him or
yeah.
Some of the other guys.
Dwayne Wade's been in Fond du Lac.
Scott Merritt, I think.
Yeah.
Some of these guys would show up in the gym, and we'd be like, oh, my God, it's Steve Novak.
Yeah.
And Steve Novak doing a great job with Fox Sports Wisconsin. So good to see him back around here. But Marquette playing as well as they have. And as a Wisconsin guy growing up as a kid, look, I still love Wisconsin. And when the two teams play each other, I root for Wisconsin. But watching Wisconsin the other night, I'm like, I feel like that's a chore. Watching Marquette, I am enthralled by this team. I love this team. We ran into them. We could talk about it more. We ran into them at the Children's Hospital one day. They were fantastic with the kids. Everybody was fantastic with the kids. That is a good group of guys, and they're just more exciting to watch. That Creighton win, which was still improbable how they won that.
Last week?
Just improbable that they won that. So good night for Hoops in the City last night, but Marquette really is turning into something.
I'm watching them last night and winning this game without Howard, but went to the game Saturday. They're a team who could either bust out in the first round. You know, they get a 4 or 5 seed or whatever it is, whatever it ends up being, a 3 seed maybe. I could see them either a first or second round casualty, or a team that could go deep into the postseason. If Howard is on and the Hauser boys are on, and, John is just an intimidator in the inside. They didn't have Morrow last night, their big center, the transfer from Nebraska. But, I like him, too. This is a good team to watch. They're a fun team to watch. Solid, exciting. They're definitely a top 15 team. You could kind of see this coming a couple of years ago, that they could potentially compete for a big – now, the Big East is down. I think they're better than Villanova, too, even though Villanova's unbeaten in the conference. I think Marquette's better than them.
When was Dwayne Wade in Fond du Lac? I missed that day. You said Dwayne Wade's been to Fond du Lac.
I'm pretty sure he was at the old press box bar there.
He was?
I want to say, 2000, not drinking.
Oh.
Okay, but I'm thinking like even like 2002 or 2003. I swore he was there. Yeah. I'll message Travis.
What time is it in Italy right now? Isn't he in Italy?
Yeah. I don't know. He'll get back. He's good at getting back.
Well, if he sees a text from Chuck Freeman.
He usually gets back to me. I know those guys all came up when Travis's brother passed away. And they came up, this is before Travis even played a basketball game at Marquette. And they all came up for the funeral there.
How is this going to work? The Heat were in town last night. So Dwayne Wade was here, obviously. He's being honored at Sunday's Marquette game.
Yeah, I didn't check the logistics of that. Is Dwayne playing a game against Chicago the night before?
Yep, he is. I'm looking at the Heat schedule right now. So they're in Chicago the night before, and then they play in Boston on Monday. So he must be coming up here and then joining the team after. Dwayne Wade talked about the ceremony that will be held in his honor.
I'm glad that we can figure out a time that it can happen within the schedule. And I'm looking forward to it, just to be able to come back here and be able to share another memory, to create another memory, another moment with a total different group of guys, with a different student body, remember me for, what I've done in my basketball career. So, I'm humbled and appreciative of, the opportunity on Sunday to be able to just say thank you once again for all the support.
So that should be cool.
Yeah, Wade learned how to compete and be a competitor at Marquette. He got that through Crean. Be a competitor. His first year there, because he played 2 years, his first year there, he was not the competitor that he should have been. He that second year became great. You saw signs of it his first year at Marquette, but, man, he'd pass up shots. I remember in the NCAA tournament, he passed up shots. I remember there'd be times when they'd be going back to the locker room at halftime, and Travis would be screaming at Wade. Screaming at him, and Wade learned how to compete, and obviously in the NBA, I don't think anybody saw him coming out of Marquette being the superstar or future Hall of Famer that he's become.
No, it's been the same like with him and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
at Marquette they were pretty good players, and then they just exploded when they got to the NBA. It is a week full of memories, so we can't get away without knowing what Dwayne Wade's favorite Bradley Center memory was.
My favorite memory, that definitely was one of them. Cincinnati game was a big game for us. They was ranked number two in the country at the time. My son was born two days after that. A great moment. Another one of my favorite memories was when my mom got a chance to come and see me play, my final game here at home. It wasn't senior night for me, but it was senior night. my mom got an opportunity to see us win the conference. Just being able to be out there and celebrate, with your teammates, your friends, your family, and obviously this crowd that, we built an amazing fan base at Marquette when I was there. And it's great to see it continue. It's great to see the tradition continue, the support, the fan base continue. So, but that's definitely some of my fun moments.
Yeah, those teams kind of, 2002, 2003 kind of jump-started Marquette basketball once again.
Dwayne Wade to be honored this Sunday. If you can't make it to the game, it is on CBS Sports Network. If you have that on your
Providence
package.
It's 11 a.m.
against Providence. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Marquette wins last night. The Bucks win last night. We'd like to be talking about a Packers game this Sunday. Instead, it's been coaching search for the last few weeks. And now Matt LaFleur is putting his staff together, including Nathaniel Hackett, who Michael Cohen covered when he was at Syracuse. Got the nickname Mad Scientist. We found some video of him, too, we'll play for you, where this guy is a football guy. He's a passionate football guy. We'll hear from Nathaniel Hackett. We'll hear from Michael Cohen. Chuck and Winkler next on The Fan.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman here on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, everywhere at the radio.com app. There's so much Packers news as of late, but there's a lot of names that we're learning about. Who are these guys? Who is Matt LaFleur? Who is Nathaniel Hackett? Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator now of the Green Bay Packers. Mike Clemens was able to find this, and I think it's from the Michael Cohen article at The Athletic. Some behind-the-scenes video of Nathaniel Hackett. Here's 30 seconds of him coaching mic'd up, including lecturing a guy about sunscreen.
There you go. Nice high and tight. Good ball security. Flip it, flip it, flip it. Nice. I love that play. I don't know why. Oh, I love football. Yay, football. Oh, nice catch. Reminds me of me. Sunscreen? We already had this conversation.
I checked the forecast. It said overcast the whole entire day.
But that doesn't matter. But that doesn't matter. The sun still can get through a little bit. Vertical, 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 vertical. Good. Hey, Ben, try not to rise first, though. Stay at the same level the whole time. You raised up and then went down.
I'm getting out of your way. Good.
So how about that? There's a little Nathaniel Hackett. It's nice to learn a little bit about these guys or see anything that we can. And their careers did cross at Syracuse. Nathaniel Hackett, a coach there. Michael Cohen getting his chops under him at Syracuse as well. Back in the day, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing well. Yeah, you had a chance to see this guy get action. Can you give us a little rundown of what you observed of Hackett?
Yeah, sure. Hackett and I overlapped for 3 seasons when I was covering the football team, and he was at first he was the quarterbacks and tight ends coach, and then he got promoted to offensive coordinator for the final 2 seasons of his time at Syracuse. And when he was there, the head coach was Doug Marrone, who then took him to the NFL and gave him an offensive coordinator job in Buffalo, and then gave him a quarterbacks coach job with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and eventually promoted him to offensive coordinator there as well. And so I got a chance to really see him and be around him. And the first thing you notice about this guy is his personality. He's just full of energy 24 hours a day. He is just a lightning bug and a guy who has an infectious personality. He's always upbeat. He's always excited. And everybody I talked to, you know, when I was at Syracuse, just loved playing for him because he's a guy that brings nothing but excitement, nothing but energy, and he's genuinely a good guy. And even people who, you know, have worked with him at other places, regardless of whatever success or lack of success his offense may have had in certain spots, you know, people who are around him enjoy being around him, and that's never been an issue with him. So I think at the very least, he'll be a positive influence on, you know, the roster and the locker room and all those things. And now this is a chance for him to work with, you know, a quarterback that's miles more talented than anybody he's ever worked with before in Jacksonville or Buffalo.
He's worked with guys like Blake Bortles and Cody Kessler and Kyle Orton and Jeff Toole, and now he's going to have Aaron Rodgers. And that's really Michael Cohen joining us here on The Fan. What I think any of these hires, what's the relationship going to be with Rodgers, whether it's Matt LaFleur and then Nathaniel Hackett. Can you envision that being a good relationship between Hackett and Rodgers?
I think so. I mean, you know, Hackett is a guy who his nickname, you know, back at Syracuse was the Mad Scientist because he loves dreaming up things that are unique and creative and innovative and just, you know, really, really different than what other people are doing. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, those sort of multi-option plays were becoming really, really popular in the NFL where, you know, a quarterback could hand the ball off or a quarterback could run the ball or they could throw a wide receiver screen all in the same play. And at Syracuse, they really added a fourth dimension to that. And there's an article from Grantland, you know, the precursor to The Ringer, that, you know, really explores how the fourth option that they added, the tight end pass, you know, just became something that was really popularized in the NFL. So he's a guy that, you know, has some ingenuity to him and has some creativity to him. And I think, you know, if he can really just focus on finding, you know, new and unique and interesting things without the burden of being a play caller, because obviously LaFleur is going to call the plays, I think it gives him an opportunity to, you know, just focus on the things that he's been good at for the majority of his career. Now, nobody knows if it will work or if it won't work, but I think his personality and the way he carries himself, you know, could be really well suited for, you know, a quarterback like Rodgers who has the ability and the talent to carry out the unique and creative things that Hackett wants to try and design.
Okay, because I've always wondered, you know, if a guy's not going to call the plays in the game, what good does he do on game day or as an offensive coordinator? But, you know, working with LaFleur is probably the big part, you know, those guys coming up with a game plan too.
Yeah, that's part of it. And then the other thing that I saw pointed out by somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, is that there haven't been any rumors about who's going to be the quarterback's coach for the Packers. So it's possible that Hackett could be offensive coordinator / quarterback's coach, or maybe LaFleur is going to handle that himself. But either way, it's going to be those two guys as sort of the driving factors of the you know, the brain trust. And so on game day, you know, his responsibility will be, you know, pointing things out that LaFleur can't see, you know, down in distance trends, what the defense is doing, those types of things. But during the week, you know, it'll be his responsibility to, you know, find things and identify potential weaknesses in opposing defenses that maybe LaFleur doesn't have time to find because he's focused more on the script or focused more on, you know, what concepts the offense wants to try and accomplish. So it can definitely be a team effort. And, you know, I think it's important that whoever is calling the plays, whether it's the head coach or the offensive coordinator or whoever it is, they need to have, you know, a number two. They need to have somebody that they can trust as their eyes and their ears and those types of things. And that's the role that LaFleur gave to Hackett. And whether or not it succeeds, we won't know for a while. But that's sort of the important number two, you know, deputy, vice general, whatever you want to call it, that every offensive play caller needs. And that's what Hackett's going to have to do for LaFleur.
Michael Cohen of The Athletic joining us here on The Fan. I think the easiest criticism to make when you look at the Packers' recent hires, Matt LaFleur coming from Tennessee, that offense not fantastic. Hackett coming from Jacksonville, good year last year when they went to the AFC Championship, but ultimately he got fired. Some of the concepts that we hope to see, we saw some of them in Jacksonville, but is it the case of he just didn't have the right talent to succeed, or why maybe did his Jacksonville tenure come to an end sooner than it should have, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to put it is, you know, I talked to a defensive coach that had game planned against Hackett multiple times in his career, both in Jacksonville and in Buffalo. And I said, well, what did you think of the guy as a play caller? And he said, well, as a play caller, he didn't really scare me too much. He didn't really, you know, make me quiver in my boots or anything. And he said, and then as soon as he said that, he paused and then he followed it up with, but you got to remember, he had E.J. Manuel and Blake Bortles. And so if you look at the quarterbacks that he's had, whether it was Kyle Orton, Jeff Toole, Thaddeus Lewis, Cody Kessler, Blake Bortles, I mean, literally the only guy that would even be considered average in the NFL was Kyle Orton, who went 42-40 in his career as a starter. Every other quarterback he's worked with has not even been average by NFL standards. So I don't think anybody knows if it's going to work or not, because there's no way to predict that until he actually gets here and starts to work with Rodgers. But I don't think there's any question that this was a hire made on potential. And, you know, what I wrote in my article is that in that respect, I think it's similar to the Packers hiring LaFleur. I mean, you can point out the fact that he worked with Matt Ryan, that he worked with Jared Goff, and those two offenses were really high-powered, but he wasn't the guy with either of those offenses. It was Kyle Shanahan first and Sean McVay second. And so the only season he had in Nashville was very modest and very mediocre, but he was working with, you know, he was working with Blaine Gabbert when Marcus Mariota was hurt, and then he was working with an injured Marcus Mariota. So I think these are two hires built on potential where each guy, you know, believes that his offensive mind and his offensive repertoire can be maximized with somebody like Rodgers, and that in the situations they were in prior, they were handicapped or handcuffed by the people around them.
Michael Cohen, you can find that article and his work at The Athletic. It's interesting insight how your careers have sort of intertwined, and we appreciate that from you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Michael Cohen, you can find him, Michael_Cohen13 on Twitter, and you can find him at The Athletic as well. You can follow them, The Athletic, WISC, where he does have that article and more on the mad scientist in action. You can see that video there too. It's also on our Facebook page. Ask Chuck and Winkler anything today. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. Get your questions in. Any questions you may have for me or for Chuck, we will take them. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. You can win today $20 to Perkins. So a little bit of a prize, one person at random. And that $20 to Perkins will score you a couple Bart's Breakfast Bonanza meals. Now, what is the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza? We've done a big breakfast special before. This time it's a little different because you can pick it. go to 105.7FM, The Fan on Twitter. There are three options for you. Option number one is what we had last time is the Bart's Big Breakfast, the discounted rate at Perkins. When you walk in and say, I'd like the Bart's Big Breakfast, they'll know what you're talking about, and they will serve it to you. It actually comes up on the receipt. It's not. This is some heavy, this is some big-time stuff here that we're doing with Perkins. Three eggs, four pancakes, which you can have the French toast instead, four bacon, you can do sausage, hash browns, you can do breakfast potatoes. So a good all-American breakfast meal at Perkins. You can also pick the meal with sausage biscuits and the country-style gravy and cheese, or the fried chicken filet cheese biscuits, country-style gravy with the eggs and bacon as well. One of those options, you vote. Vote once in our poll. You have until Saturday at 10. We'll announce the winner. And then on Monday, you'll be able to go into Perkins and get that discounted rate when you ask for the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We are served up by Perkins.
Who stood out last night for the Bucks? Let's get the Chili's MVB from last night's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Dial 799-1250, and you could win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back! This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Bucks fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Who was the Chili's MVB in a blowout win for your Milwaukee Bucks? 124-86 over the Heat. 799-1250, free food from Chili's. If you can get it correct, let's try Nick on the west side. Nick, who was the Chili's MVB in last night's win?
Eric, not the Drew Bledsoe.
Was it Eric Bledsoe?
Chili's MVB of the game with 17 points. Bucks point guard, Eric Bledsoe.
That is free Chili's for you, Nick. We'll do it again tomorrow as the Bucks have a game tonight. So there will be a post-game show tonight. Tune into that to find out the Chili's MVB. And then call again tomorrow at this time.
I thought he said Eric, the truth, Bledsoe.
Ah.
But Eric, not Drew Bledsoe.
Do you want to start a nickname?
The truth?
Yeah.
Does he have a nickname? Does Bledsoe have one other than Bledshow?
Bledshow, Bled.
Yeah.
Well, you're not into nicknames in the first place.
Oh, I'm an inventor of them.
Yeah, but you don't like when the Bucks call Malcolm the president. You don't like when the Bucks call Brooks Splash Mountain.
No. Here's what I like Splash Mountain, but it's like when you're on the PA system, and I think some of these guys, people are still trying to become familiar with them, and maybe have just jumped on board with the Bucks this year. And when people assume that the president is who, I take my 7-year-old to a game and he's, Giannis from Cash. And he's like, Cash? Who's Cash? And I said, well, it's Chris Middleton.
Well, so, then he knows.
Well, yeah. But I mean, you shouldn't have to do that. It should just be, but that's,
Well, it's like me as a kid. I didn't know what Marquette was till I was 10.
Yeah.
And then I found out and then I did. Marquette should be Milwaukee College, right? Under that sort of rationale. Sometimes things you got to explain. You got to explain the name.
But you shouldn't have. But you know what? Make it easy on the consumer. I always say.
So what should Middleton's name be?
Should be when he makes a basket, Chris Middleton.
What should his nickname be?
Oh, I don't know. But I mean, when you're introducing the guy that he made got an assist. When you just say assist from Cash, not everybody knows. That's his nickname. When have we ever called Chris Middleton Cash on this show?
Well, then maybe we'll do it more.
Okay, all right.
From now on, I will only call Bucks by their nickname.
Okay.
And Malcolm Brogdon, the president.
Okay. Well, I think
Bledsoe.
I think president, people are getting more on board with that. Or the Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
But I'm Cash, who calls who calls Middleton Cash?
The Bucks do.
I'm just saying, do you ever hear a fan say, oh, man, Cash had a big game tonight? Who?
Maybe the president.
When we do Middleton topics on the show, no one ever refers to Middleton as Cash.
I'm only going
to
call Giannis the Greek freak.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, that's,
never the alphabet. Yeah. I'm sorry, that is a stupid nickname.
It is. Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like that nickname, the alphabet, either.
The alphabet.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Or the eye chart.
Oh, well, yeah, that's dumb, too.
Yeah.
We're asking you guys throughout the show today, you can chime in on Twitter, which Bucks storyline has you the most interested from now until the playoffs? Because when they beat teams by 38, we end up talking about their nicknames. I mean, they are just beating up on teams. And if they lose to teams, I think this stat is maybe Well, I don't know. That being 12-0 after a loss is so impressive because they get mad. Malcolm Brogdon was asked about going 2-3 on the road trip if that was a success. He said, well, yeah, it was a success, but, I mean, we have every game we've lost, we should have won. I mean, so they have set the standard very high for themselves within that organization. But they're 12-0 after a loss. They're 12-0. They always win. But when they do lose and they play that team again, they win as well, and they win by a big margin. They lost to Boston, played them again, won by 13. They lost to Portland, played them again, won by 43. Lost to the Knicks, play them again, win by 14. Lose to Miami, play them again, win by 38. That's 4-0 with an average of 27 points per victory.
Well, one thing we never have to question with the Bucks, as we might have had to do with Jason Kidd and the previous regimes before that, it was every once in a while we'd have to question effort. Oh, this team didn't play with any effort. They acted like they didn't want to be there last night, and they lost. Effort, effort, effort. There's never been an effort issue. If there has been, it's been minimal this year. But it's for the most part, it's been full blast effort from these guys.
Well, and that's Budenholzer, right?
You think, I guess, and plus having a good group together.
They come out at halftime. They go down 9-4 on a little heat run, just a little heat run.
Mm-hmm.
Budenholzer calls a timeout and then, like, walks away. Doesn't say anything. He's just telling this team, hey, enough. We're better than this. So they're always motivated. They're always pushing. They do want victories like this. They're not going to settle for the 5-point victory.
That's good.
This team wants to blow out teams.
That's good. Let's not lose two in a row in the playoffs either. They lose a game, come back with that same mentality.
So you can keep chiming in on that on Twitter at 105.7. FM The Fan. Coming up next, ask Chuck and Winkler anything. You can still get your questions in at 105.7 FM The Fan. Cody Grant will be your host. What kind of questions should we expect, Cody?
A lot of basketball questions, NBA and college basketball, and then a really good question on Wisconsin MVPs.
Okay, so just sports today?
Lots
nothing
of
off the
There's
nothing
one
off the
question
table.
Question about musicians, which I may or may not ask.
I like the stuff that's off the table.
Yeah, we're done with sports all day.
Even stuff that's on a personal level, we'll get to.
You know, back in the day, we got nothing but non-sports related questions.
Yeah. Maybe we've just become so knowledgeable and we've become such a resource for people that they only want our opinions on sports.
Okay.
Interesting.
I've noticed our calls have increased tremendously in the last couple of months here.
Well, people want to talk to
us. I like that. I like that.
We are fun guys.
I'd rather talk to people than read what they got to say on Twitter.
Yes. I agree. And you'd rather talk to people than talk to me.
Well, on the air, we're fine.
It's Chuck and Winkler. Ask us anything. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
I think.
We're good.
Yeah.
Use the hashtag AskCW coming up next.
Do you have any questions?
You've been sending your questions in all morning for Chuck and Winkler. And now it's time for some answers.
Just answer the question, please.
This is Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Ask us anything. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can use the hashtag AskCW to get your question in. Some Perkins available to one person at random. Before we have Cody host the segment, I'm going to respond to Matt's question. He says, can you guys play, before every Bucks segment you do, the Peter Fagan drop about people booing his family? Okay.
You're booing my family. Wow. Terrible.
That was from the groundbreaking of Pfizer Forum.
By the way, remember my little thing I said about the Bucks where I got the white card the other day?
Yeah.
I heard back from the Bucks in a very positive way, and it was at a Marquette game. I got this, and I heard back from the Bucks in a very classy way. I'll explain after Rhodes is done with this segment. Maybe we do it later on in the show. We have some time.
All right, yeah, right after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't take it away from Rhodes. Rhodes doesn't like it. We take away his airtime here. I don't blame him.
You're booing my family.
Yeah.
Wow. Terrible.
All right, Cody. Make the most of it.
Let's go right to James here to start off. This is in regards to the story that came out of Mark Lazary on his comments on Stephen Curry and the possible trade that could have been. He wants to know if you guys would rather build a team around Stephen Curry or Giannis.
Yo, Giannis. Yeah. Again, if I had a chance between Giannis and Stephen Curry on my team, I would take Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I mean,
younger, everything. Yeah,
I would take Giannis.
I just love the way he. I mean,
Steph's great. Steph is amazing.
You know, when you watch...
I want Giannis.
When Giannis gets the ball on the open court, is there anything more exciting? Sure, Steph is awesome.
Great no-look pass last night.
God, yeah.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits. You know what I'm saying?
He's the most exciting player in the game, Giannis.
You're booing my family. Wow. Terrible.
All right, Peter. That's enough. Cody.
Ziggy wants to know if you guys are making it to a herd game one of these days.
Oh, I want to get there, too. I do. I want to get to a herd game. Yeah, I will. I will before the season's done.
I went to one last year, and I had a good time. I didn't sit in the seat, though. I sat in, like, the VIP section.
Okay.
But I don't think that costs more than $20. And then you just sit on tables, and you're sort of above one of the hoops, and you're off to the side, and there's a bar up there. And I don't know why you wouldn't sit up there. There's plenty of room. I would try to do that if you're going to go to a herd game. Every time that I'm in that area, I do check if the herd's playing, and they're always out of town.
I feel like they're always playing the Windy City Bulls on the road.
Got them coming up on the 23rd. That one will be at home.
Okay.
That one will be at home.
Yeah, I do. I've been to many Bucks games so far this year, but I do want to get to a game.
Let's see. I might be up there this weekend. They play on Friday night against the Lakeland Magic.
There you go.
3 inches of snow coming your way, though.
How much are we getting?
Well, down here in the Milwaukee area, according to Woxie over at Fox 6, Tom Wox. They're still trying to figure out the pattern.
Because it's going to be cold.
Yeah, it's going to get down to single digits this weekend.
Because a lot of these snowstorms that have come in have either hit the Fox Cities and hit Chicago and then missed Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't shoveled yet this year.
Oh, that's amazing.
Really? I haven't shoveled once.
Makes sense.
January 16th.
And I think my snowblower's broke, but I haven't tested it. I haven't had to.
Traditionally, like this coming weekend is always the coldest weekend of the year on the meteorology terms. And then it gets the average highs get a little higher.
You know, when I should go up to a herd game is today. They play at 11:30 today.
Afternoon game?
Yeah.
Oh, who in Oshkosh is going to be there?
That might be a kid day.
Yeah.
Like schools go?
Could be one of those, yeah.
Anybody roadie today?
No.
Road trip? I'll pass on that.
I might run into my ex-wife.
Oh, boy. Cody, next question. ASAP.
Yeah, for sure. Cliff Brown wants to know, how good is Marquette's men's basketball team? And how far can they go in the tourney?
Well, we kind of addressed that earlier. I think they can go deep in the tournament. They can. However long that Marcus Howard and the Hauser boys are going to carry them.
I mean, they can win the tournament. Any of these teams can win the tournament.
Sure.
I would think that Final Four for them would be a dream.
It would. But if you told me now,
I'd love at least Sweet 16.
I would not be. It wouldn't surprise me to go to the Final Four. I mean, this is a good team. It is. I mean, is it world championship caliber? I don't know, but it's definitely a team that can go far.
I mean, if teams like George Mason and Florida Gulf Coast can get that far, why can't Marquette? I do think you need a guy that's a star that can shoot and score 35, 40 points a game, and they have that in Marcus Howard. Now, the back spasm thing might be of some concern, but we'll see how long he's out.
If he gets on a roll, those Hauser boys get on a roll. Man, they could go. Those threes are dropping. Absolutely. And John is swatting away shots underneath. Absolutely.
Ask us anything, Cody. What's another one?
Well, let's go to the other college basketball team here in Wisconsin from Jordan. Does Wisconsin make the NCAA tournament, the Badgers?
I'm going to say no. I think they're going to be an NIT team. They're going to be one of the guys left out. I didn't think they were going to make the tournament to start the season. They rattled off a couple of nice wins. But, no, I don't see them. They're not a tournament team.
Oh, it's been a bad week and a half for them to do that. Do they have any good? They beat Oklahoma. How good's Oklahoma right now? They beat Xavier. Is Xavier any good?
Xavier's run-of-the-mill Big East.
How good's Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
They're 13-3.
They beat Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago. I know that. I don't know. Are they top 25?
Oklahoma's not.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, I don't see on the schedule. I see Savannah State.
Yeah. I mean, if they beat Michigan coming up, that'll be big.
Change it.
If they could beat Michigan, unbeaten Michigan Saturday at the Kohl Center, that'll help them.
Ask us that question next week. Yeah. But right now, I'm gonna still hang on to hope and say yes.
I'm gonna say no.
Cody.
Let's go to Tavern Wisconsin Sports. He wants you guys to rank them 1 through 4, your favorite Wisconsin MVP. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich, and Ryan Braun.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Favre, like how we like them?
Yeah. Your favorite.
Just as a
just
player?
Your favorite guy.
Okay. Oh, my favorite guy. I'll say Ryan Braun, Aaron Rodgers.
Braun's one?
Yeah, Braun, Rodgers. Who's a...
Yelich and Favre.
Well, I'll say Braun, Yelich, Rodgers, and then Favre. Although Yelich and Rodgers are really close. That's a close second there. But I've always liked dealing with Ryan Braun. I have. I've never had a problem with him. I like him. I hate having to always qualify what he did a few years ago, but I've moved on from that.
Well, we can talk about Brett Favre without talking about how he sent a picture of his junk to a reporter.
Yeah.
So why do we have to preface the Braun thing every single time exactly. We bring him up?
Well, the Braun thing had to do with baseball. The picture thing didn't have to do with baseball.
Yeah, but he took those football gummies to stay on the field for us. He did it for us.
Yeah, well. And himself. He wanted to make some more money, and I'm fine with Braun.
Yeah, but I like to rewrite history and
I'm fine with Braun.
Make myself feel better about it. I remember when that news first came out. Wasn't it the night that the Badgers played Michigan State or something? Because I was at a bar watching. It was a Saturday night when Olney came on the TV and said, hey, Ryan Braun, by the way, is being investigated for PEDs. And I thought it was after a Badger game. I was so mad.
I think it was the Saturday after the Big Ten title game when they played Michigan State.
I was definitely at the now-defunct JR's in Fond du Lac.
I was at an Italian restaurant in South Milwaukee. When the news came on my phone, I'm like, what? Suspended?
Braun's my guy. I'll put him one. I love Favre. He was like my imaginary dad, so he's two. I'll put Yelich at three. I'm still mad at Rodgers right now, so I'll put him at four.
All right.
We'll do that. Cody?
Let's go to Phoenix Fire. He wants to know if you guys are excited about All Elite Wrestling. Frames, I don't know if you know about this.
Why don't you answer that question?
All Elite Wrestling?
Give us some background, Cody.
So, All Elite Wrestling is being created by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. The other Cody Rhodes. Yes, the other Cody Rhodes. Not me. But Cody Rhodes, of course, used to wrestle in WWE. He left to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor. Now this new wrestling company, All Elite Wrestling, is trying to come up. And they're backed by the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe his name is Shaw Khan. Who has...
Shaka Khan? The
Shaka
singer?
Khan? Not Shaka Khan.
I think it's Shaka Khan.
Is it Shaka Khan?
Yeah, the singer.
I don't think so.
I'm just killing you.
But anyways, they've signed Chris Jericho. They have some big names. Some big names on the independent circuits. And a lot of people are excited about All Elite Wrestling. Are you guys?
Yeah, don't they want Goldberg?
Yeah, that's the latest thing I saw.
Anything that gives WWE competition to make them better, I'm for.
Yeah, I can't even watch it now. I don't even watch.
It was good this week. Raw and SmackDown were both good this week.
I watched all of Raw on Monday night.
I saw the snippet a couple weeks ago with Hulk Hogan doing his Gene Okerlund tribute. I thought that was cool. And Rosie was telling me he got some bad feedback for that. Is that you, Rose, who told me that, Rose?
Yeah, so a lot of people still dislike Hogan from what he said.
Okay. Yeah, what he said was wrong, but... Again, sometimes we got to move on, don't we?
One more. Let's go to Aaron. He wants to know if Aaron Rodgers is the James Harden of the NFL.
Oh, you mean just putting up numbers? A stat machine?
I'm going to say yes. As of right now, yes.
I wish he would have been a stat machine this year.
Well, his stats were good. Statistically, Football Focus loved him. He's good.
I didn't see a lot of 400-yard passing games.
No, those did not count. Yeah. I saw some 190-yard passing games.
That's what I mean.
One touchdown. No interceptions, though. Just a couple.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't see any gaudy numbers there from A-Rod.
Chuck and Winkler will talk more about Rodgers and the Packers' future going forward. Charlie Casserly, who Mark Murphy said helped him with the search a little bit. We'll talk to him, the former Redskins Texans GM, now with NFL Network at 9:30. And Chuck almost got kicked out of a Marquette game, and the Bucks are praising him?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum
minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.